Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go hook him up!
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm just recovering from the greatest weekend of my life, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Are we live?
Yeah, we're live. I fixed everything. There was a problem, but it's been taken care of, and we are now live. What's going on, Craig?
Let me start over. Greetings and salutations, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just almost screwed up the show because I forgot to merge that my three-way call.
There you go.
Yeah, it's actually not your fault. It's my fault for the technical difficulties that we are starting off on. And we're waiting for a Katrina caller, so let me introduce our special co-host for the night who will be joining us for some WrestleMania talk, and that is someone that I had the pleasure of meeting this WrestleMania weekend and actually watching WrestleMania with, and that is Sherry. How are you doing, Sherry?
Hi, everybody. I'm good.
Cool. And that's good. And I don't know what's going on with Katrera. He's the one that really, really wanted to do the show more than anybody, and he's running late, of course. But I guess what we should do is, if we run down WrestleMania event by event, we're going to bring down the show a couple different times, and I don't really want to do that. We don't have any choice but to talk about a very sad subject, so I think we should just get that totally out of the way right now, and then the whole rest of the show we can talk about happy times and good memories and stuff like that. So, Craig, okay. I'm going to let you start. I know you didn't go to the Hall of Fame live, but have you had a chance to see it on the network?
Oh yeah, I watched it the next morning. Actually, got to watch it, and actually watched it from a jacuzzi tub. But that's more information that you need to know. I very much enjoyed the Hall of Fame. Of course, we're talking about the Ultimate Warrior passing away. His speech was, it was different. I'll give him that. He said a whole lot of stuff, but yet he didn't say much, if you know what I mean. tended to go off on tangents and get sidetracked and derailed still very bitter at the company about a DVD released some years ago,
it looked good. If that was my DVD, I'd be pretty bitter because that was a pretty bad DVD as far as the way that one made him look. Luckily now there's another DVD that tells a whole other side to it, so
right.
I never get the truth of who he was or what really happened, because you either hit the extreme of the bad or the extreme of the good. And no one really knows that middle ground. But, I thought he was okay, we're joined by our other co-host, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera, besides being late?
Not much. Sorry about that. I was on the phone with my mom. So
there you go.
She's even more important.
Well, we've already started talking about the Ultimate Warrior, so we can get that out of the way. I don't want to get into the whole thing about the Hall of Fame because it is pretty sad. I mean, it's like looking back, he came out with his two kids, had his wife. His speech, like Frank was saying, didn't really seem to have one point. You know, he kind of went off on different things, but I thought he came off more human than I've ever heard him in some ways. And I thought it was a great speech. The thing about the Jimmy Miranda Award, I mean, I think that's really a good idea, you know. And we'll go ahead and we'll talk about what his death means to us. So I'll go ahead, Katrina, I'll let you go ahead and start. And just what were you thinking when you heard? What are your thoughts now? I mean, what's your whole opinion of the Ultimate Warrior?
Well, what I was thinking when I heard was, why in the world was I asleep at like 12 o'clock in the morning? Because I woke up to it. It's like the bad shit you always wake up to. It never just happens.
Yeah, I remember like waking up to Eddie Guerrero died. So it's like, I kind of took a nap that night, and I was just getting on my computer, and I get a text from my friend JB, who was also at WrestleMania weekend, and basically it says, Warrior died. And he can be a bit of a troll sometimes, so I didn't take him serious. I was like, he's fucking with me, of course. And then I get on Facebook and Twitter, and yes, it turned out it was true. Craig, what are your thoughts on the situation?
And Warriors died like 5 times before, so, you know.
Yeah. That sucks.
I mean, I can't remember how many times he's been reported dead. I'm not trying to be funny either. I'm just saying that's it. That's true.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're totally right. I mean,
different Ultimate Warriors, is this the real one? What happened to the other one? The other one died or something? You know, stupid shit like that. So.
I heard someone say that their friend was saying that Kerry Von Erich played the Ultimate Warrior for a few matches.
Oh, please.
Oh, Christ. Madden, we've had 5 Kanes and Lord knows how many Undertakers. I don't know.
But,
and 2 Razor Ramones. That's about it.
Well, there was 2 Razor Ramones.
What it means to me, I was always a big fan of Warrior. I mean, as a young kid watching him, he was just absolutely, and I know it's cliche, but he was just absolutely larger than life. I mean, who couldn't get jacked when you heard that music and you saw the energy and you know, he was like, you know, my number 2 guy, Hogan being number 1. And he was always awesome. Now, as I got a little older, a little bit wiser, I realized that he wasn't the ring technician that I thought he was when I was young, but absolutely a great personality. One of my favorite matches as a kid was, of course, WrestleMania 6. And, it sucks. The biggest thing that got me was, going back and watching his 2 little girls. I mean, the 1 little girl looks to be about my son's age. And that, I can't imagine leaving him here to fend for himself.
For some reason, I thought that he would have older children. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's fair because, you know, most people have their kids in their, you know, mid to late 20s.
I thought that with his daughter. You remember that thing they did on Brotherly Love with Amanda Ultimate Warrior? Do you remember that? Where he brought the little girl out. And,
I actually do not.
No, they brought the little, and I thought it was said it like later in later years that it was his daughter. That's why I was asking, because I didn't know his children were that young. I thought he had like at least maybe like daughter, like at least teenagers or something like that.
Hmm.
So.
Well, I mean, he could have had children that were in their 20s. I mean, he was in his 50s. But Sherry,
yeah.
I know you actually weren't at the Hall of Fame, but it's hard not to know what's going on with the Ultimate Warrior just because of everything that was going on in New Orleans. You are from New Orleans. And what are your thoughts on the whole situation as far as, you know, the highs and the lows of the weekend? I mean, he's on top of the world one night, and then the next night he's unfortunately no longer with us. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it was pretty shocking. It was one of those things of of course, I was awake, you know, for it. I hadn't taken a nap, but It was pretty shocking to hear, because you know, all of us just saw him, if not the night before that, you know, at least 2 days before it was announced. And it's kind of, you know, shocking to hear that, you know, somebody who just came out and gave a speech and, you know, waved to the crowd and, like, did all of these amazing things is now no longer with us, you know. And it was also more and more shocking to just see the impact, you know. It's you know, he truly was a great person. It's one of those things of, like, no matter if you liked him or you hated him or you didn't think that he had, you know, as grand of technique as some, or his personality, as you guys said before, was grand. You know, whenever he came out, he put on a show, whether he was angry or bitter or, you know, happy or pumped, he always put on a show, and you can see that he's affected every single wrestler, you know, young and old, throughout his entire career. So it was definitely the fall of a big piece of WWE history.
Yes, yeah. And as far as what I want to say about it is, yes, it's very sad, you know, that, like I said, like, his two daughters came out, and, you know, he's leaving them, he's leaving his wife. But if you put that aside and you kind of look at it this way, if you have a man who is known to have people thought very, you know, not, they didn't have the best thoughts of the guy. He was, he had feuds, and it's not always the best to have, you know, bitterness for other people. And it seemed like after almost 20 years, he's come full circle, and he's been in a way was being welcomed back into the fold, and he was putting his grudges aside with Vince McMahon and was looking on a new start, and he made peace with the people that he had his biggest issues with. He also, you know, you look at the movie The Wrestler, you know, he died at the end, but he died happy because he was doing what he loved. And you can't tell me that this wasn't the Ultimate Warrior's greatest weekend of his life. I mean, mm-hmm. He was so happy at the Hall of Fame. He was so happy at Raw. Unfortunately, if you go back and watch it, you know, I was there live, so I did not notice it. But I went back and watched it, and I saw a man who, in my opinion, looked like he was on the verge of death. I mean, if you really look at it, he looks really bad. And the thing is,
he
just looks
like a big
grown-up
dude to me.
You listen to his speech, it's like he's giving a eulogy. It's like he gave his own eulogy when he was on top of the world, when, you know, it's like his moment of fame. And it's, at the very least, he got to experience that, even though it was, you know, it's too bad that it was taken from his children and his wife. But I'll be honest with you, if I'm going to go out, that's how I want to go out. I want to go out on top of the world. I want the world to know who I am, or to, you know, to talk about me. You know what I mean? It's like for him, that if, except for the timing of having small children and a wife, this is the ending that I think the Ultimate Warrior would have relished, because he will forever be, like you said in his speech, an immortal now. I mean, his legend is set. It won't just be, oh, the Ultimate Warrior sucks. No, when people bring up the Ultimate Warrior, they're going to have a different idea, and they're going to talk about him the way they should, as a legend and someone who actually impacted the business. Because this whole convention, or, you know, meetups and conventions that we had in New Orleans, let's be honest, it all started because Brian Alvarez saw the Ultimate Warrior as a kid and became a fan, and ended up becoming a writer and starting the website, and led to all these meetups that we all have. So, you know, I think it's, and I take some peace in knowing that of the way he died. You know, I mean, that might sound bad, but I take some peace out of it. I don't know if you all agree with me or not.
Yeah, I believe it was also a great honor that we, you know, got to spend his, you know, his final days. You know, unfortunately, they were his final days, but I think it's a pretty big thing for all of us who were there, and, you know, who got to see it and see him go out on top.
Well, it's like a Randy Savage. We never get to see him again, you know, when he died. So he was out of the spotlight for I don't know how many years, and he never came back to the company. Never got in the Hall of Fame before he died, and, you know, he never got that, really, that moment that the Warrior did over the weekend. So,
your thoughts, Craig?
I'm sorry, what?
I said your thoughts.
Oh, my thoughts. It's cool he had one last time in the spotlight. The timing is so incredibly crazy, though. I can't get over the fact, you know, that, you know, so I'm at WrestleMania Sunday, and so I'm on at the Hall of Fame, so I'm at Monday Night Raw, and next thing you know, I'm headed home. I'm almost home, on my birthday, nonetheless, and another one gone. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is, and like I say, I really don't want the whole show to be like a downer, so I think we've said enough. You know, we've said our piece on the Ultimate Warrior, so I suggest that we move on and we talk about
let me talk about that match with Hogan real quick, if I could.
Sure.
Because I was watching that live on pay-per-view. Me and my cousin, WrestleMania always happened to be around my birthday, and so I'd always get, like, WrestleMania every year. We'd have to go out of town to my aunt's because we didn't get pay-per-view in the town we were living in. And we watched that match, and still to this day, it's still like one of the best matches I've ever seen. And I think I appreciate it more as, like, as years went on, I became like a quote unquote smarter fan and knew about working and stuff. I can appreciate how those guys put that match together. So,
Pat Patterson's a genius. That's all I can say. I mean, he took two guys that even if they had great working opponents, they still weren't that great. But yet somehow they were able to go in there and mesh, and in my opinion, have a five-star match. It's like Pat Patterson put that thing from start to finish, and he's just, when it comes to laying out a match, there's nobody better.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we'll go ahead and start with, I guess we should start with WrestleMania because it is the biggest thing of the weekend. It's the 30th WrestleMania, you know. It's 30 long years. I know we had an argument the other week because I said I watched it on pay-per-view and Couture claims that I did, but I did. And it was just an awesome ride. And I've been to 7 WrestleManias now, 6 in a row. There was one thing missing. There's one thing always missing, and I finally got to experience, and that is to hear real American kick in. And for the immortal Hulk Hogan, the main event at the first WrestleMania, one of the most important wrestlers in the history of the business, come walking out. It was his red and yellow, his bow going. And I was like a kid in a candy store. I videotaped it on my phone, and you can hear me sing the words to every word to the song. Not very good, but I was singing every word. And Craig, I know you. I think your yearbook said that Hulkamania will live forever. What was it like for you seeing Hulk Hogan walk out on the grandest stage of them all?
It was pretty amazing. I mean, the second live show I ever went to, you know, Hogan was involved, and you know, he honestly only came around, you know, back in the early days. They would come around, you know, maybe every 6 months. You know, every 9 months, and still, you know, still got goosebumps, even, you know, at this age, to seeing Hogan. You know, he's, again, larger than life.
Yeah. Cherry, you're a little younger than us, so, you know, you don't, you might not remember Hogan from the very early years, the early WrestleManias, but, I'm sure you know the legend of Hulk Hogan and so much about him. But what were your thoughts when Hulk Hogan came out in the beginning of WrestleMania?
What is Hulk Hogan? I don't know what this is. Yes, I've seen the old matches and stuff. Of course, I didn't live it as a child, but I have seen the matches. And to see him come out, because when I was growing up, he had broken away from doing wrestling, and he was doing all of his little sitcoms and like little bits. So he kind of became like a caricature of himself, and you know, he's always in the tabloids and all that stuff with his wife and whatnot. So when I was you know, a teenager and stuff like that, that's the Hulk Hogan I knew. And then I started going back and being like, oh, this is the real Hulk Hogan. So to see him be in his element and be in his real like vibe with the music and the boas and just be himself and go back to the base of, you know, the first WrestleMania and all that stuff. It was pretty epic. I mean, WrestleMania 30, they really outdid themselves with making it hot right out the box. Like, it was, like, as soon as it started, the entire place exploded. Like, it was nonstop when he came out, and then it just didn't stop after that, you know. It was as if they took all of, like, these major players from the 30 years and just decided to cram it all together and pretty much make everybody's heads explode. It was pretty wonderful to see. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Katrina, you weren't there live, but you weren't. Well, did you actually watch it on the network, or did you order the pay-per-view?
I just ordered the pay-per-view, just because, you know, it was the first big show, and so I didn't want any problems. So, and putting $60 on them put me up that much, so I didn't care. So I watched it on regular pay-per-view.
I mean, I know it might not have been just for the fact you weren't there live, it might not have been exciting, but were you working out watching it on pay-per-view?
Yeah, just real quick, I was had ordered it the night before, and usually I just tune in to, like maybe within a minute or so of the show starting, because on the channel it wasn't playing the pre-show, so, and I don't usually watch the pre-shows anyway, and I had flipped to the channel I was supposed to watch it on, and I looked at it, and I accidentally ordered the standard definition version.
Oops.
So I had to, like, real quick go to my purchases and cancel my order and then go to the HD channel and order it again. So I would get, everything in HD. But Hulk Hogan, the Undertaker's been there the longest. I think Undertaker and Shawn, probably, what, the two longest guys have been there the longest, I'd say. But to me, it was like WWE. Hulk Hogan is WWE. WWE is Hulk Hogan. You know, WrestleMania is Hulk Hogan more than anybody else to me, I think, just because, you know, that's when I started watching wrestling, was when he was the champion, you know, from, like, I started watching WWF in, like, 86, and he was there through, like, WrestleMania 8 in 1992, so it was good to see him back, and a happy time was had.
Yeah, and then we got a real treat, because it wasn't just Hulk Hogan. He was quickly followed by the last breaking, which just threw me into super mark mode, because I knew that Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to come marching down the ring, and he gets in there, and he's giving Hogan the eye, and looking like he's not going to be friendly with Hogan, and acting like he wants to even stun him, and then he makes fun of Hogan for, Hogan had actually called the Superdome the Silverdome, and Austin had some fun with him. And then we had the news broke, I think, the day before that Rock was going to be there, and supposedly it was to film something, but it was actually for him to come out live. And you had the three biggest stars in the history of pro wrestling. I mean, some people can argue Bruno Sammartino, Luke Edge, Ric Flair. No, the three biggest money makers in the history of wrestling were all in the ring together, and he had about 80,000 people chanting, "This is awesome," with three older guys just talking, and it was awesome. I mean, I thought that was just the greatest thing ever, actually. Craig, your thoughts?
You already got my thoughts in.
Well, you got it on Hulk Hogan. I'm talking about The Rock and Stone Cold.
Well, it wasn't a surprise to see the other two. Austin had hinted about doing WrestleMania a few days earlier on his podcast. Pretty surreal to see them all in the ring together. And
I saw a picture of The Rock like the day before at the New Orleans airport. So
yeah. So it wasn't like a huge surprise, but it was hot from the start.
Did they change the ring?
And then one thing
for that segment, did they change the mat or anything? It had beer all over this all of my, while I'm asking.
I didn't notice. I have no idea. I would imagine because you had about a 12 pack of beer that got poured out into the ring. But one thing about Stone Cold, he'll never forget how to catch a blind beer, because no matter how high you throw it, how fast you throw it, the man is like, he could have been like one of the greatest baseball players ever, because the man can catch anything.
I feel like he
just
practices
at home. He probably does. He probably just has his girlfriend or wife or whatever just chugging beers all night while he's doing his podcast.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, that was, like I said, a great open. And from there, well, let, who's got the actual list? Because I'm going to get the matches confused. That way we can go in order.
It went on. They started fresh. They started really hot. They started with the Triple H and Brian match right away. That was the first one out the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I got to say, Hunter had the greatest Skeletor costume I've ever seen in my life. He had like a solid gold Skeletor from He-Man costume, and he was accompanied by Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair, and I forgot who the other one is, but that was Hunter always has the craziest, like, Balfarian, whatever entrances, and he just went top them all.
The entrances were all amazing. Yeah, that took quite a while. At first, you could see it through the smoke, and you're like, what is that? And then it's this giant skull throne with him on it, and you're just like, what the hell is going on? It was pretty amazing. And then all the slave girls come out and disrobe him. It was definitely a spectacle, that's for sure. And, yeah.
And, Katrina, what were your thoughts on the match itself?
I thought this was the best. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Katrina.
Okay. I thought this was the best opener in WrestleMania history. I thought it was better than Bret and Owen. I thought it had more heat than Bret and Owen. And see, with Bret and Owen, I already knew he was going to get a title match anyway, so you know, that kind of didn't even factor into that match. But, you know, Brian, he has to win to get the title match. And this is one of the best matches Hunter's had. And, like, I thought this was better than the Undertaker matches. Seems like this is the best match he's had in like, years. And they did it. I can't decide who was the best performer in this match, Triple H, Daniel Bryan, or Stephanie. Because Stephanie on TV, she came off awesome as a heel manager. She's incredible. Her and Paul Heyman, best managers. You know, even though they don't call them managers anymore, but still, the ringside are the best managers. And, this was an awesome match.
It was definitely a great match. I was happy to see Triple H, you know, clean in the middle. No shenanigans. Better man won. And quite honestly, to coin a phrase, that's what was best for business.
Yeah, and my brain knew that Triple H was going to do what was best for business. But in my heart, I still shit my pants when he hit the pedigree. Because until he kicked out, you know, I still had that little doubt. And for a few moments, like that one guy once said, it's still real to me, damn it. and it was. And when he kicked out, I totally lost my shit. That's pretty much all of our friends looking at us. I don't know if you noticed, Craig, but I was losing my mind. And I thought the match was great. I mean, Hunter was awesome. Stephanie was awesome. Apparently, there was a lot of discussion about Stephanie's outfit. I don't know why, but she looks like
he's a hero.
Looks
like a bitch.
Yeah, and she did an awesome job selling her ankle when she took the tope. And the match was great. And the heat was. The crowd was already hot for Hogan, Austin, and The Rock, but they were so hot for Brian that whole match. And right behind, or on the side of the hard camera, whatever you call it, those fans in that section were some of the greatest fans I've ever seen. They were nonstop the whole show. And, I lost my shit when Brian won. It was awesome. Sherry, your thoughts on the match?
The match, you know, obviously, I'm not going to say it was horrible. It was amazing, you know. And it was good to see Hunter, actually care. I feel like the past couple of matches that he's actually been in, it's kind of been phoning it in a bit. And I feel like in this one, even though he was going to do what was best for business, I feel that in this one he did give a little bit more show and give himself a little bit more oomph to beat Brian down and to show them that, you know, he's not just going to be in a suit all the time. And Stephanie was great, and I loved her outfit. I'm going to go get one. It was amazing, and it was wonderful to see Brian win and to see the fans. I don't think we sat down at all from the when Hulk Hogan came out till the end of the Triple H Brian match. I don't think we sat down. I think we all still were standing up at that point, just shouting yes and still so excited. We still hadn't sat down actually in our seats yet.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with that. I don't remember sitting down until I guess maybe the Battle Royal or maybe the sixth man. But yeah, I thought like I say, the match was awesome. What was the match that followed that?
I got it.
Goodness.
We had the New Age Outlaws and Kane versus the Shield.
Okay, now this match, I did not get to see this match at all because I went to get drinks, and by the time I left and came back, that three count was being made. So I'll go ahead and let you guys talk about it. Couture, I'll let you go ahead and start and talk about that match.
Well, this is a match that I watched, but I don't think I actually saw. It was so fast. So
yeah.
There wasn't much to it.
Yeah.
I love the Call of Duty ghost mask that they wore. I love those.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a good touch. But yeah, there wasn't anything to it. It was just like pretty much a squash, so not much to say about it.
It went like two and a half minutes. 2.5 minutes, Roman Reigns getting the pin. Nothing to it. I did mark out for just a second because I thought Aces and Eights was walking down the aisle. And anyway, just kidding. But yeah, it was fine. Roman Reigns won, and that was the right guy.
Yeah. That was definitely the right guy. It was just so quick. Like it was insane how quick it was. It was like, what? It's over? No, something else has to happen. And then they're like leaving the ring, and it's like, oh, okay, it's over. So yeah, that was a very quick match. Very very good. You know, fast but quick. Good but quick, I guess.
And it's probably for the best that it ended quick because apparently Billy Gunn was taken to the hospital because he was apparently coughing up blood or something. But I do know that he was back for the after party after the show.
Well.
You can't miss an after party.
Yeah. So, Katrina, what was the next match?
I have no idea.
I've got it pulled up right here. That was the Andre the Giant's Memorial Battle Royal was up next.
Oh, yes.
And that I think, excluding Royal Rumbles, because Royal Rumbles are totally different, but as far as a pure Battle Royal, been watching wrestling for over 30 years, and that was the single greatest Battle Royal of my life. And from start to finish, they were doing some fun stuff, like 3MB actually ran wild in the beginning of the match and eliminated a few people. Kofi Kingston just blew everything he's ever done away at a Royal Rumble away at this match. I don't know how he did this. I can't even describe what he did other than somehow he kept his feet on the steps and was not eliminated. And
Cesaro was really fantastic.
And yeah, Cesaro was awesome. And he lifted up the Big Show exactly like Hulk Hogan lifted up Andre the Giant. He threw him over the top. Just so many awesome things. I will say that they kept showing an angle from the back of the trophy and then showing the ring of the Battle Royal. And the very first time I did that, the first thing that came to my head is like, why the fuck is Hornswoggle in the Battle Royal? But apparently it was the Andre the Giant trophy. And Craig, I know that you're Battle Royals are not your favorite thing because you've actually been in a couple Battle Royals. Your thoughts on the Battle Royal?
This was a good Battle Royal. The beginning, not so much. Started heating up there probably about 4 minutes in. And the spot with Kofi was spectacular. He got whipped into the turnbuckle. He basically flew over the top, somehow landed on the steps without turning an ankle, and proceeded to fall backwards, all in one motion, by the way. Fell backwards and still kept his feet, his heels, on the bottom step as he took a bump onto the floor. It looked very painful.
Incredible.
It was pretty incredible. It was like one in a million that he was able to pull that off perfectly.
It was massively impressive, number one, because he keeps topping what he does every year in the Royal Rumble. And to pull this out at Mania was extra special. And it looked great. Cesaro winning the match. Here's my thing. I think it was awesome that he won the match. But did you know he was in the Battle Royal?
No, I didn't know. I thought he was just in the pre-show match, because I don't know what they
exactly
had. Any. Was anybody else in a previous match in the Battle Royal?
Not that I can think of.
I'm guessing he took Christian's place, right?
It's possible.
He got a concussion. I was supposed to be in there, so.
By the way, I am watching SmackDown right now, and the Usos got huge tattoos on their shoulders and all the way down to the arm on the left sleeve. Massive tattoos, like The Rock style.
Like new tattoos?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry, but distracted. Yeah, so it would have been a lot cooler if they would have said that Cesaro was in the Battle Royal and then build up the fact that he was going to win the Battle Royal, because him winning the Battle Royal puts him over. But how much more over would it be if we actually knew he was going to be in the match?
I don't know.
It was hard to know who was in the match, because basically the only two people who got entrances were the Big Show and Sheamus, and I honestly didn't even notice everyone getting into the ring. I don't know if we were talking or what, but I heard Big Show's music.
Well,
I kind of followed it with my camera through the ring, and everybody was in the ring. And
I was kind of expecting some NXT guys,
but there weren't any NXT guys there. It was pretty much they did have Yoshi in there who wasn't in there very long. Poor Yoshi or Yashi or whatever his name is. Sherry, your thoughts on the Battle Royal?
I do enjoy Battle Royals just because in the beginning it's always just mass chaos. This one definitely at the beginning looked like a Benny Hill sketch. It was pretty comical, some of the things that were going on. And then finally it started like heating up once people started getting one-on-one and the falling out of the ring but still keeping his heels. It was just all pretty amazing. But I agree that, you know, it would have been I would have cared a little bit more as to who was left in the ring if I would have known that Cesaro was in the match, you know, and was going to, you know, topple the Big Show. Because, as you said, yeah, Sheamus and the Big Show were the only two who got entrances, and you could pinpoint out people that were in the match, but at the beginning it was just a wave of people trying to knock each other out that some of the people fell out of the ring before you even knew they were actually in the ring. And but they did wheel the Andre the Giant trophy through access. And I didn't notice, and when I turned around, it was, like, face-to-face with me. So I actually got closer to that trophy than some of those guys in the ring. So just going to point that out.
Was it taller or shorter than you?
It was the same height as me.
Okay, so you looked under the giant in the eye. That's actually pretty cool.
That thing looks heavy as hell. That trophy.
I saw it at Access as well. It was probably a good 5 feet tall with the base and everything. It looked pretty stout. The reason we didn't see anybody actually make it into the ring, we were all focused on the screen. The stadium went a little bit dark, and we were focused on the screen watching Danny Davis, Sergeant Slaughter, Jim Duggan, Ricky Steamboat doing a skit. And when the lights came back on, oh my gosh, there's 100 guys in the ring.
That's actually, I remember that now. That skit was pretty funny. And ended with the Million Dollar Man, I think, bought the toys and took them away from Ricky Steamboat and Hacksaw
and
Slaughter.
And Ron Simmons came out and said, "Damn."
going back to that Kofi spot real quick. That was one of those spots. The good thing about it is you could, if that spot screws up, it's like nobody's going to really notice.
Right.
You just count it as an elimination, but you don't know that he's trying to he's like aiming for these steps. And he did it in a real dangerous spot. He didn't go over the ropes. He went over the ring post where the steps are at, which is like 10 times more dangerous looking. And
yep.
Yeah. Oh, and Big E almost killed poor Justin Gabriel.
Yes, he did.
He powerbombed him outside of the ring, and he barely averted the disaster. It was like he was going to die. So.
Yeah, I didn't even know Justin Gabriel was in the match. And except for that, Big E jobbed out in that match.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. But I guess you can't have everybody get all, you know, any shine. But I guess we'll go to the next one. What was the next match, Craig?
Yeah, John Cena versus Bray Wyatt, with Bray Wyatt coming out to the greatest ring entrance I have ever seen live.
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically had some good dancers.
Yeah.
And he had a band where the singer was kind of like, had like face paint like a zombie, and the other guys had like a plague mask from back in the day. And they sang his song, and it was dark, and they took their time getting to the ring, and all I could see in the corner of my eye is a little kid tightly grabbing his daddy's arm, and that brought a smile to my face and made me laugh.
The only thing that would have made it better is if they had done a gimmick where he came to the ring in one of those boats, like you see around New Orleans.
That'd be kind of cool.
It's called a P-Row.
A P-Row boat. And he came to ring on one of those. That would have been awesome.
A little bit of knowledge, the band. The band is actually fronted by a band that I saw on Lollapalooza in 1992. He was a guitar player for a band called the Jesus and Mary Chain. And he has since quit the band, and he started doing music for soundtracks and things like that. And Bray Wyatt just happened upon the music and thought it was really cool. So that was
actually it was Rob Naylor.
Okay, whatever. But anyway, they actually played live, and sounded great. And the coolest thing about 30 seconds into the song, 75,000 people started clapping in unison to the music. It was awesome.
And how did your son enjoy it? Because we know that he's not the biggest fan of the Wyatts, and in fact is a little scared of them.
Well, I was kind of teasing him, so he took to punching me in the arm when this was going on. But everybody was checking around to see the face of my son, and he did just fine. He was happy to see the outcome of the match.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, because he is a big John Cena fan. Yeah, I thought usually a lot of times when you'll have a band come out and play, it's 50-50. They might sing good, mm-hmm. sound bad. And this one sounded perfect. I mean, it almost sounded like the soundtrack, you know? I mean, the guy had also voiced live, you know, the fans made it with the clapping. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, well, damn, I wonder what Cena's going to do, because every year Cena has some kind of, you remember when he had like 1,000 Cenas come out?
Yeah.
race cars, CM Punk in a gangster outfit and Tommy Machine Gun.
Yep.
You know, some wild thing. And John Cena made music hit. He walked out. He saluted.
Mm-hmm.
He ran to the ring.
Yep.
And I was like, what the fuck? But the match, actually, I thought the match started a little slow. You know, they're doing headlocks. It's not like it started like a blood feud. But I actually enjoyed the match. What I thought was really funny, and I got a kick out of, you know, everybody knows about the let's go Cena chant, Cena sucks chant. You know, you have the little kids and the girls singing let's go Cena, and all the guys are singing Cena sucks. Well, this time all the guys started a let's go Wyatt chant, and the next thing you know, right away, all the little kids responded with a Wyatt sucks chant, and I thought that was just the funniest thing.
I like when they said the whole world in his hands. When you do that.
Oh, yeah, and then all the fans singing, he's got the whole world in his hands and had the arms in unison, mm-hmm. and they did that raw, so it was badass. I mean, the fans were like, some people said that this match was kind of dead, but I don't think it was dead. I thought there was a lot of stuff going on. And I understand Cena winning, because they had already planned that The Undertaker was losing.
Yes.
And it's WrestleMania. You got to keep the fans happy. You got to give them as many good guys win as possible. And I think they, if they were going to give, either there was going to be two good guys win, one good guy lose, and since The Undertaker was losing, Cena had to go over. They can continue the feud. Wyatt actually had to match Juan. He chose not to win the match, trying to make Cena
go. He didn't win the match. That was the whole story.
So enjoyed the match. I'm not going to complain about the match at all. I thought it was decent. Couture, what did you think?
I was going to say the whole story was the Bray didn't care about winning or losing. You know, he wanted Cena to snap. And so Cena winning, you know, didn't really matter at all. So it didn't hurt him. I think he got more over on the entrance more than anything else. So,
yeah.
And talk about those bands, how some bands are good. And some bands are good, some bands are bad. And then you have some bands like Motorhead that don't know the words. So it's the wrong song.
Yeah, but in Lenny's case, that it actually works for him.
Yeah.
There was a great spot in the match when Cena went for the five-knuckle shuffle, and as he hit the ropes, he came back. Bray had sprung up in the reverse spider, and he was like, oh, wow, that's creepy, and he kind of darted away from the situation, and that was a pretty genius spot, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it was very creepy. I don't know, he's a big dude, and somehow he can arch his back as high as possible, so opposite way. And with all that hair and the beard, it's very creepy looking. And I marked out for that because he did it like he interrupted the "you can't see me" spot. So, you know, that really got over with the fans and. Yeah, that was my favorite part, other than the fans and the band. Sherry, your thoughts?
It was amazing. I mean, you know, Wyatt definitely had an amazing entrance, and it definitely was very New Orleans inspired, and you know, Louisiana Bayou inspired, and that made me very happy to see. The band was great. It was great to see a live band, you know, up there playing and to hear them actually sound and then, you know, sound like the music and then actually still be able to play it well. When you have a live band, it kind of gives you even more energy and even more vibe. So in my idea, I was like, well, he probably is going to win. Like, he's got all of this epic. But then I was like, no, they're going to give it to Cena because, again, what's best for business, and you don't really want Wyatt to have to start a whole new feud with somebody else. So it's, you know, to keep the feud going so that they don't have to start a whole brand new storyline, you know, it makes more sense. But, yeah, that whole back handstand thing that he did when, you know, Cena turned around, I think the whole crowd was watching Cena, and then they followed his gaze, and when they saw Wyatt do that, I could hear, like, people in the crowd just be like, what is that? And it was very Exorcist. It was a wonderful touch, you know, and bravo for him to do that, because that's not easy to do, you know. It was great. It was great also to hear the little kids behind me saying why it sucks. That was adorable. And I think, yeah, like, you know, your son is a little scared of why. I think, you know, he kind of reminds kids of, like, the boogeyman, you know. Like, he's very creepy. You know, he's even creepy to adults. I mean, you know, it's very creepy in a way. I mean, it's he's scary. But it was an amazing match. I did think it started off slow, and I think some people say that nothing really happened. I do think it's because there wasn't a lot of key points. There wasn't a lot of, you know, huge moves. It was all very small moves and very small, you know, instances of them fighting each other. You know, I don't think it was a huge over-the-top to do. I think it was just a normal match, and people didn't. That's why
there was a lot of storytelling in the match, more than high spots.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what was the next match, Craig?
Next up, we had Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar.
Okay, now this match, was not the best of the Undertaker matches, but let's not forget, we've seen worse. We've seen him against El Gigante. We've seen him against King Kong Bundy. We've seen him against an old Jimmy Superfly Snuka. So if it was hard to follow two Shawn Michaels, two Triple H matches, a CM Punk match, it had to be so
anymore.
You had two bigger guys, and you had a guy who Brock can do some amazing things, but he's not a puffy machine like Shawn Michaels or CM Punk. Okay,
that's right.
So the match in some ways had things going against it. It also had the fact that The Undertaker got a concussion and forgot the whole match and had to be told by Brock Lesnar, who's not the greatest in general, what to do. Now, you know, when I watched the match, at the end of the match, I think they planned the ending of this match in some ways perfectly because they got the reaction that they wanted. Okay. Basically, apparently they did not inform the referee what the pin was. And the referee, because basically what happened, Brock hits the F5 for the third time. He covers The Undertaker. The referee makes the three count. The Undertaker kicked out a split second, like just a hair of a second after the three count. The referee didn't know what was going on. He thought he fucked up. He didn't know what to do. Apparently they rang the bell, but I did not hear the bell. I'm with everyone else.
Nobody
heard
it.
The bell.
Nobody heard it.
Rang it like really soft or something. Nobody heard it. Paulie jumped in the ring like he was going to celebrate it, but he paused. Like, wait a minute. Did I jump the gun? And I'm thinking to myself, I swear to God I saw a three, but maybe I didn't. And then they put 21 and 1 on the screen. And I brought this up on the show I did with Brian that, you know, you remember the night they found the Miz girl? Well, this night they found 1,000 Miz girls because every person they showed was losing their mind.
What
you had heads on top of their heads, mouth open wide. There's a black guy with his eyes bugging out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the craziest thing. People apparently left the building. It didn't really bother me as much because I knew that if he did lose, if or was going to lose, it was going to be by his choice. And you know, no one's going to tell The Undertaker what to do. If he's going to do what he wants to do, and if he thought it was the time to do it, he'd do it. And, you know, it might be his last match. And, you know, I'm just happy I got to be there to see the streak in so many matches and be there when it ends. Yes, you know, maybe it would have been great to let the streak go forever, but The Undertaker's old school. He's not going to do that. It didn't bother me as bad. And I had peace with it in some ways because, you know, you can't always win. Sometimes you get old, and the gunslinger gets old and gets a little slower, and the new kid is a little quicker on the draw. Not that the Frost is a young kid. I think a lot of people might have wanted somebody like a Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan to do it, but, you know, it's freaking Brock Lesnar. Everyone who's bitching about Brock winning is Brock Lesnar. He's a freaking former UFC heavyweight champion in the world. If anyone's going to beat The Undertaker, it's freaking Brock Lesnar.
He should be a monster that could be the guy that beat him, you know? So.
Yeah.
And not to mention, Brock's a huge name. I mean, everybody knows Brock Lesnar. If you have somebody, let's just throw out a name, Roman Reigns. If Roman Reigns were to end the streak of Brock Lesnar, would any of the national media pick up on that? But when you see the words Brock Lesnar, former UFC heavyweight champion, you know the name, and media picked up on it, and it was in papers and news reports, and even Jimmy Fallon even said something about it.
John
Stewart. I mean, that's huge. And I don't think you would have gotten that reaction if it had been a guy that it's just another name. You know what I mean? It needed to be somebody big. And not to mention, that's who Undertaker wanted to lose to. They wanted to do this match a couple years ago. And it was time. I mean, he's done. He's going to retire. And it was going to happen sooner or later. And this was the time to do it. Undertaker went out on his terms. He's going to retire. He's going to be just fine living in his big house with millions and millions of dollars with his beautiful wife, and they're going to live happily ever after. Get over it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have to say that it was a perfect, like, it couldn't have been better timing. It was definitely, you know, great for business. I mean, that's the thing, is like, Brock is a huge name even outside of the WWE, and so it's one of those things of like, if he gets talked about, then the WWE gets talked about, and it's just a continuation. It just makes them a bigger. I have to say that Paul's just reaction, his faces the entire match, both had, like, whenever they would show his face, he has the best character. He has the best faces. Like, he is mm-hmm. one of my favorites when it comes to managers per se. Like, he definitely knows how to play it up, you know. He's not just standing on the side with a scowl or anything. He definitely gives a show in his own little world. But it was sad. You know, it has to happen. But it's great that it happens with Brock Lesnar. It's great that it happens at WrestleMania 30. And I think the after point when everyone was standing and clapping for The Undertaker, you know, and him going out basically on his terms and going out on top in his own way, like this, you know, he knows he's done. He wanted to finish it. He's done, and he's now, like, you know, like you said, he's going to be happy ever after within his giant house with his wife and whatnot. Like, it's, you know, it was a perfect, it couldn't have ended better on a better time.
Yeah, I'm in hindsight, I'm very glad I was there. I mean, it's
yeah.
Some people might not accept it, but we were there to witness history, and you know, you don't always get what you want. But that doesn't take away from it being good if it was good. And maybe technically the match was the greatest match, but as far as the drama, storytelling, the end of it, I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. So we'll go into, I guess they had the Buffalo match, if I'm not mistaken, after this.
Well, I'm trying to give my thoughts here, so shut up. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, I think the ending saved that match. Because, like, if Undertaker would have just won, it would have been, okay, that wasn't very good. But at least, you know, him losing, it just got, you kind of forgot how bad the match was. Not that it was really so bad, it was just kind of not much to it. And, I never got to think about, well, he should keep the streak forever. I never understood that. Nobody's beaten it in our lifetimes, or unless WrestleMania goes, like, weekly. So I don't see the point.
Right.
So this way, you at least, I think you get more out of breaking the streak than in not breaking it. Because when he's retired and he's still got the streak intact, it's over. I mean, you know, what good is it? Now you got Brock beating him, and you know, Brock, he's got the type of schedule. Maybe they could do something like, you know, next, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years. Maybe the big match can be who can beat Brock at WrestleMania. Who can beat the man that beat the Undertaker at WrestleMania every year?
Right.
No, maybe that can be the big thing now. So.
Yeah, you know,
it was like when he lost that. Some people exaggerate, but I think that was like one of the biggest moments in the history of the business, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Definitely one of the most shocking. And the best reactions I've ever seen, you know, a quiet crowd reaction, because nobody was saying anything. Everybody just had a gobsmacked look on their face.
Yeah,
you know,
nobody
like, you
was.
Know, Brian and Dave had that argument, and Dave was saying it would be just like Bruno Sammartino and Ivan Koloff. And if you look at it, it was. No one said a damn thing after that match, either one of them.
It was a weird reaction because everybody was so confused. They couldn't. It was a total mind F for them because they couldn't. No way did Undertaker lose. They couldn't fathom it. And when it finally happened and it started to dawn on people, then it wasn't until minutes later. I mean, in some cases, with the guy in front of me, there was a guy in front of me, and you could see that he was stewing, and he was upset. And then as the Battle Divas match gets over, he gets up, he grabs his girl by the arm, and they stormed out.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I was like, are you serious right now? And anyway, it needed to happen. And anyway, that brings us to the next match. The Women's Divas title match. And if I'm still trying to figure out how this works. We're going to put a bunch of girls in the ring, and somebody's going to get pinned. And AJ Lee ended up winning. Do we really need to talk about this?
As a female, I would like to talk about this.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Sherry. Give us your thoughts on the battle royale.
There we go.
Just leave it to the girl. Talk about the girl stuff. Should I talk about their clothes and how adorable they looked, or should I actually talk about their wrestling skills? I don't know. You know, I enjoyed it. I thought that, you know, it was nice to see that they weren't doing it in a battle royal style and that somebody had to be pinned. I think, you know, they had a lot of weak divas that, you know, just kind of hung around on the periphery that, you know, and it was really about people getting up on AJ. And then, of course, you know, the Bella Twins, making their to-do with them fighting solo in the ring at one point and then jumping onto the pile of divas that were standing outside the ring. It was a spectacle. It definitely was a filler. I mean, I have to agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, AJ definitely took advantage of the other girls beating on each other. And, of course, she was going to win because, you know, it's what people want to see. People wanted her to continue, but then she lost it the next day, so.
did you guys hear the, he was the one making her opponent tap out? Her opponent wasn't tapping out.
No, she wasn't. They called it as a tap out, but she was just reaching for her.
Yeah, she was pushing her hand up and down on the mat. So. I don't know if anybody called
that. I will say that when the Bellas went for that double tope, I kind of screamed because I was, not that I was worried that the Divas weren't going to catch them because there were just too many for them to miss, but
right.
I seen Eddie Guerrero do a double tope and clip the ropes and nearly bust his ass, but the camera didn't catch it, luckily. You know, it's not the easiest thing to do when you're doing it by yourself, let alone two people doing that at the same time, and they actually pulled it off. And it was actually a very good spot. Somehow, some way, Ascana was involved in like a superplex of doom and didn't kill anybody or get killed. Sherry might disagree with me, but I got to say, Rosa needs to change her hair, change her outfit, just totally change.
Oh, yes. Rosa needs to change something. I got to meet her at Access, and she was commenting how me and her have similar haircuts. And I was like, no. I'm not a blonde. I'm like, she was like, hi, gorgeous. She's like, oh, your hair's just like mine. I was like, no, it's not. But okay. And
she was hot as a brunette. So hot as a brunette.
Brunettes, yeah. I mean, well, and that's the thing is I really, you know, honestly, you know, between the blondes, you know, it's really, honestly, it's, you know, I can never differentiate it when they're in the ring. I'm like, okay, that blonde over there, and then that blonde over there, and then there's that blonde over there. But, you know, if you have something distinct, but yeah, it's the bleach blonde hair has got to go or something. You know, and the outfit was
it's such a high-risk move since one of them getting married this weekend. Don't need to be a broke leg at the one down the aisle, so.
I was impressed with them, you know, them pushing each other back and forth in the ring. I was like, okay, somebody just eventually, like, actually, you know, move in. But when they both dove off and the Divas caught them, I was happy that they caught them, but it was also, you know, like you had said, you know, that they didn't clip the ropes or anything, because, you know, that is a tricky thing to do, to just kind of leap and hope that you don't hit anything when you fall. You know, it was pretty ballsy of them, especially with you know, the marriage and everything happening.
And it wasn't, you know, it was by no means was it a great match, but that match was 100 times better than it had any right to be. because it should have been a total clusterfuck with all those girls involved in just one fall, all at the ring of time, and they were able to pull off a decent match, got a little time, told a story, and it climaxed the next night on Raw, which was the perfect city for what they did, but we'll talk about that a little later. And,
yeah.
And it was also Vicky's last show.
Yep.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So.
Which is sad, but there is another Guerrero
yes.
who might be called up soon, but she's whatever Rosa's problem is, Raquel Diaz, Vicky Guerrero's daughter, has got it even worse because I've seen a picture and she now has Seth Rollins' hair.
Wow.
Yeah,
I do have to say one thing is that Eva, she was in the corner for like I think the entire match, either getting stepped on or like I was watching pretty closely, but I don't think I saw her actually even like attack anyone. I think she was just getting attacked. The entire time.
But I guess now we can get to the main event. And
No, we got to get to the next bit in the back with Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, Roddy Piper,
oh.
and Wild Bill Orndorff.
That's
okay.
Right.
Now speaking of that, okay, I saw Hulk Hogan talking to somebody, and I'm thinking to myself, who the
right.
fuck is that? What the fuck's going on? Who is this dude? And then Piper showed up, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's fucking Mr. Wonderful. And he looks like he's out of the Old West or something with this mustache that blew away. Remember when Hunter had mugshots? No, this blew Hunter's mugshots away. And then, of course, we had Piper talking about how he didn't lose, and then it looked like they were both going to jump on Hulk Hogan, kind of. And then Mr. T walked up and then told Piper that he pitied the fool, which you can't tell me not every single person in that building marked out for, or watching at home marked out for Mr. C saying, I pity the fool. And then, instead of fighting, they all shook hands, and then it came time for Mr. T and Roddy Piper to shake hands, and Roddy Piper deserves an Oscar for this performance. I laughed the entire time. It was awesome. They shook hands. They hugged. And a 30-year-old feud finally came to an end, and it was a beautiful sight to see.
It was.
Orndorff looked like he was entering a mustache contest. That's what I thought. You know?
The only thing that was missing was the wax from Zeb Coulter on the end so he could twirl it up like Yosemite Sam.
And Bob Orton with his cast, he didn't show up.
They did have Pat Patterson in his referee gear.
They did, yeah.
But yeah, that was I laughed my ass off. That was they do some of the best backstage skits at WrestleMania, and this was clearly one of them.
Yeah, that was wonderful. It was great to see their feud end and it to be so dramatic. Yeah, Roddy definitely drawed that out dramatically. When he went to go to shake Mr. T's hand, he definitely drawed that out painfully. Shaking and screaming the entire time.
And of course, the main event.
The main event. Yeah.
The main event: Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton versus Dave Bautista. Had a nice argument with Bryan on his radio show about how he knew that he was going to pin Randy Orton. Well, Bryan, I was right.
Well, Bryan's wrong about a lot of things. But I want to talk about my own stupidity regarding the start of this match, because there was a lot of people talk about it would probably be better if Bryan Danielson did not start the match. Maybe he waited so Orton and Batista could start, and then the crowd could start shitting on them, and then you could have Bryan come and just blow the roof off the place. Well, they started to play Bryan's music, and I was messing with my camera, or my friend's camera, and I guess I zoomed into the wrong spot or something, so I'm listening to Flight of the Valkyries play, I'm like, where's he at? I'm like, okay, they're going to play his music all the way, he's not going to come out, it's going to be like he can't make it, and then he'll come out later, and I turned off my camera, and I looked to the ring, and there's freaking Daniel Bryan.
Oops.
Exactly. But I thought the match was an incredible match. I thought it was booked perfectly because there was two spots where, like, Randy gave Batista the RKO and Batista waited to the last second to kick out. And then also Batista had a pin attempt on either Brian or Randy that was, like, super, super close also.
Yeah.
They did that incredible spot on the outside where Batista picked him up for the Batista bomb and Randy hit the RKO. And then, unfortunately, slid and hit the TV monitor. I mean, landed right on the corner of the TV. It looked like that hurt. I mean, I cringed
like
when I saw
the
replay
right
of that.
On top of the TV monitor, you know?
Yeah.
And the bad thing was Batista was the one that threw it, not towards the ring, but over the backside of the desk, and... You know, monitors bounce sometimes, and this one bounced right underneath the table there, and Randy Orton came down, and oh, my gosh. I mean, watching it over and over and over again, I mean, I've never seen so many people cringe at one time.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is just unreal. And then he comes up bleeding. It's like, Dave, you screwed up, boy.
When they brought out that gurney and the EMTs, I swear to God, I thought they were coming out for Randy.
That would have been
fair. Needed more.
Yeah.
And then they started working on Brian. And then, like, one funny thing that I'll mention is, besides Sherry being my guest for WrestleMania, I also had another friend join us, and that would be, if you're familiar with the UFC, you've probably seen her taking photos, and we had Tracy Lee was also sitting with us. And Tracy Lee was live blogging on this app she has on her pad, and basically was totally convinced that Daniel Bryan was injured and was hurt and was hoping he was all right as they wheeled him out, and they totally worked her, and I thought that was kind of funny. They did do a good job because, you know, they strapped him down, they put that thing around his head. I mean, it was so well worked. I mean, The planning and of this match was, to me, just absolutely perfect. Maybe it would have been better if he would have got Randy to tap, but, you know, it could at least a rematch with him and Randy. You got to give Batista credit. He was supposed to win the title, you know, in that night, and he ends up doing the job. And, you know, that's really, you know, good of him to do that. And all I know is that I had to, when this match was over, I literally had to hold back tears in my eyes. You know, I've stated before, I've seen one of his, Brian Danielson's first few matches at Far West Rodeo here in San Antonio, Texas. I convinced Roland Alexander to put him in the King of the Indies tournament, which eventually led to the formation of Ring of Honor and Dragon Gate. So I do take credit for all that, too. And, you know, through all that, get hired. Get fired, get hired again, get treated like shit in every way possible, but somehow survive, and somehow the fans got behind him more and more and more. And seeing Daniel Bryan, you know, someone who I've spent time with personally and got to know at a UFC show, I mean, he's one of the most humblest guys you will ever meet. Every match that I brought up, he shook his head in embarrassment and told me how horrible it was. He cannot accept that he has a good match or that he is as good as he is. And to see him, WrestleMania 30, standing there with two title belts, throwing his hands in the air, screaming yes, and 80,000 fans doing the same thing in unison, it was one of the most emotional things that I've seen. It was close to the level of seeing Kerry Von Erich beat Ric Flair in Texas Stadium. You know, it was like, and some people are going to hate on me for saying this, but it was like watching Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero celebrate at the end of WrestleMania 20. It was one of those magic moments, and I'm glad I got to be a part of it from the very beginning, and I got to be there that night, section 109, row 32, seat 6, or seat 7, whatever it was, and I'll never, ever forget that.
Yeah, it was a great match. It was a great match. I loved the match. It was very well booked. On the edge of my seat the whole time, marked out, and bought into the near falls on Batista and Orton. Just spectacular. And the really cool thing, the WrestleMania 25 was in Houston, and we went and saw Ring of Honor, the Friday night show, and Alex Kozlov wrestled Daniel Bryan in the like the second or third match on the show. And when I was coming back into flying home, I had to go through Houston and switch airports, and I drove right by the building that we saw that show in, and it really got to me. It was like, wow, 5 years ago, I was watching that man in that building on the third match on the show. And it was really cool. And to have my son there seeing it was really cool. My dad didn't like wrestling and never took me to one show as a kid. And he would drop me off at the building, but never went to a show with me. And to be there with my boy and knowing how big of a Daniel Bryan fan he is, and letting him experience 75,000 people throwing their arms up with their fingers pointed to the sky, chanting yes in unison, is something I'm never going to forget.
Back to chair.
Yeah, this match, I was worried about the crowd because I think they kind of deflated after the Undertaker thing, but you know, when they did that run-in with Hunter and Steph and the referee, they brought the crowd back. So, but it was great. Those last two near falls, they like made my heart skip a beat. I don't know if there are any near falls ever that I've seen or, you know, done that to me. I think the Undertaker match kind of made the near falls bigger because, well, the Undertaker just lost. I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Bryan lost right here. And but anyway, but yeah, it was a great match. And Did anybody watch the Journey to WrestleMania show with Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, I watched it yesterday.
That was awesome. Everybody should go out and watch that. It was like one of the best little documentary things they've ever done on anybody. So, but yeah, it was a great match.
I heard someone complain that there was a little kayfabe in it, but you have to kayfabe a little in it. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't want Hunter to say, oh, yeah,
they did it perfectly. It wasn't overdrawn. It was just enough, but there was so much stuff that was real, you know, in there that in way more than made up for it. So, yeah, everyone check out that. WWE did really good putting that together. Sherry, what are your thoughts on the match?
It was iconic. It definitely will go down in history. I think, you know, they put together a really amazing match, you know, and it was so wonderful to see Bryan win, and the whole crowd, that's what they wanted, you know. It was, you know, to hear them yell in unison, yeah, and to be also yelling with them, it was amazing. The amount of near falls, yeah, it definitely made you jump. Like, if you weren't already standing up before the match started, you know, the amount of, you know, near pins and near falls, it was just, you know, made you jump up. I seriously want somebody to go back, watch this again, and just count the entire, like, for the entire show, how many, you know, kickouts we get, how many near falls we get, because I feel like there was, like, more than any that I've ever seen for any other WrestleMania or any other pay-per-view event. I feel there was quite a bit in this one. There was a lot of, you know, tension and anxiety and going on, especially after The Undertaker had lost. I think everyone was a little on edge of, like, well, anything can happen. One of our heroes has fallen, you know, and he lost when everyone expected him to win. So who's to say that, you know, Bryan's going to win? And I think that kind of put that in a lot of people's heads, you know, to get them thinking that he could lose. And that was wonderful. That was great work on their part to really build up, you know, the care and momentum of the match. When Orton fell on that TV, that was, oh, yeah, I cringed big time, because you can see that he just barely missed the table, like watching it over and over and over again, you can see that he barely misses the table, and then when the table breaks, that TV was right there underneath it because it had bounced back, and it was just, it was painful to see. But I was pleased. I was really, really pleased with it, you know, and the ending with all the confetti and the joy, just the joy on his face, you know, and him finally doing it. It definitely was a relief over the entire stadium. Yeah, it'll definitely be a very historic event. I'm glad that we were there to witness it because it was one hell of a match, that's for sure.
Yeah, from top to bottom, you know, I've been to 7 live, and this is by far the best one. This is even better than the one, the first one I saw, which was the Austin Rock in Houston at the Astrodome. And that was a great card, and I think this one was actually even better. And just
this one is
the
one
only bad thing
time.
I can say about WrestleMania happened right before WrestleMania, and that was getting stuck in the bottleneck that took us like 30 minutes to walk, get to move 10 feet. And luckily, somehow, Sherry was able to force her way and with me behind into another section, and we went around the handicap, and we were able to make it to our seats at the very end of the pre-show match.
Yeah,
and,
I got a little aggressive. Got a little aggressive.
Yeah, but we made it out of there. We survived. We saw the whole WrestleMania. Peach Machine and his wife were a little late, so they missed part of it. But, you know, he's stupid, so he doesn't count.
I want to apologize to everybody for the New Orleans Superdome experience. They're not coordinated, especially this was actually a record breaker for them for an event. They've, you know, of course they've handled Super Bowls and NBA tournaments and all that stuff, but honestly, this broke the record for the amount of people that have been in the Superdome, and this actually broke their grossing record for $10.9 million dollars that they grossed. It broke a record for the amount of people and the amount of money that they've grossed. So it was pretty chaotic. I don't think they were expecting anything like that, and they definitely were very ill-prepared, and I apologize from the city of New Orleans for the horrible mess-up that was that trying to get into your seats and the dome.
Well, I will grudgingly accept your apology.
I ended up going up one level, crossing over the fray, and then coming down the stairs and then working my way back. So we only missed about half of the opening match, but what a joke.
It was horrible. It was indeed horrible. And, you know, the people there that were security, quotation mark security, they, you know, they had no clue.
They
had
made
no
it worse.
Clue how to handle
they
it.
Made it worse.
They definitely made it worse.
Yeah.
They definitely made it worse. Yeah, we ended up slipping into section 12, 112, ended up, because they were telling us not to go in there if we weren't part of 112, and I was like, forget this. I'm like, we're going through.
Yeah, somehow the tiny little girl let the big guy right through a massive crowd, and thank God he was there because I probably would have missed like the first half hour if it wasn't. But you saved the day there, and yeah, WrestleMania as a whole was great. We got about 35 minutes of live air time, and there's a lot of other things that we can talk about. I guess we can all just go one by one and pick a different thing and talk about it. Craig. Pick an event you went to and that you'd like to talk about.
Well, since we are running low on time, I'll just do both of the Ring of Honor shows. We had amazing seats for Ring of Honor Night 1. A great show, top to bottom.
We weren't all together. There was you,
no.
Sideswipe, and Max everywhere on one side in the first row, and then you had myself, Rodney, Pete, Tommy and Junior Horseman on the other side, and it was very interesting on both sides because you got covered in beer by an almost fight, and I literally almost died when Jay Lethal toupee, Thomas Ciampa, right on top of me. And all I remember is Horseman after was telling me, dude, I heard you scream, I'm going to die. And that's all I kind of remember before I let Ciampa roll down on top of me. Before I let you break down the shows, the funniest thing, the best thing about the first night, I didn't go to the second night, but the first night is you after this long line getting in, they had the gimmick table, and they had the Briscoes and Steen and Elgin, and at the end of the table they had Mike Bennett, and at the very end they had Maria, who was looking extremely, extremely beautiful. And I just remember walking up to the side, I kind of whispered down, I was like, Maria, could I please take a picture? She smiled, she got up, I put my arms around her. Unfortunately, people were kind of crossing in front of the camera, and she's like, would you people hurry up? And I was like, people, take your time. I'm fine right here. I'm fine right here. Anyway, I got my picture, and she goes back to sit down, and Ronnie decides he's going to follow suit, and he asked very nicely if he could please take a picture, and she looked at Ronnie and said, you need to buy a ticket, and turn her head away. And I died. That was awesome. Poor Rodney.
That's just rude.
So just the highlights of the show. There was a Michael Elgin Kevin Steen match that was off the charts good. It was so amazing. They threw each other around. This was a big guy match, and they bumped and flew around and crashed on the pretty black mats in front of me. You know somebody hits the ground hard when their feet in front of you and you feel the earth move under your feet? There's a song in there somewhere. But Kevin Steen hit the mat so hard that it shook the ground. It was like, what are you thinking? But that match was off the charts good.
I noticed for about over 1 minute you sat there with your mouth wide open. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I could see you, and I was like, wow.
it was just unreal to me that you would take such a crazy bump for something like this. And anyway, that match was just great. And the ladder match, God, it was so good. It was cringeworthy at some times. And they were hitting each other really hard with chairs, throwing them at each other's faces. I'm pretty sure it was on purpose, but Jay got busted open hard way off a ladder shot to the head, just gushing blood. And broken tables and breaking through ladders, I kid you not, just unreal.
You remember when Adam Cole looked like a young baby-faced kid?
Oh, yeah. He still does.
He don't look
it's
like
just
him anymore.
Weird. Anyway, that was off the charts good. The next...
Yeah. And it started bloody, but it started off with some accidental blood because the first match, I think, well, they had a match that we got into right when it was kind of ending. The Drip tied it to in his match gimmick, but I think the start of the pay-per-view... The first match was Roderick Strong, my good buddy Roddy, against, I forgot the guy's name he wrestled. But anyway, right at the start of the match, Roddy gets, basically an arm wringer. And he's doing an arm wringer, and I just see his face. Like, you can see his facial expression. Like, he's just in, like, something hurt him. And then you see blood everywhere. His hand was just gushing blood. And, And then the rest of the match was basically Roddy just beating the fuck out of this kid, and which is very entertaining. Roddy's very good at killing people when he wants to. And I saw when I was leaving New Orleans, I actually ran into him. Actually, I ran into him the night before, but I did run into him at the airport, and I did get a good look at his finger, and it looked like he should have gone and got stitches. I think they just super glued it, but it was a nasty cut, and it went from his fingernail pretty much all the way down, not the whole thumb, but like that first section of your thumb, it was split open from there. But But it was still a good match, and Roddy's the type, he don't care. He said it was kind of discomforting, like when he had to grab something or something, stick his hand in his pocket. But, you know, he's a psychopath, and, you know, that's not going to stop him. But any other thoughts I didn't see the second one. How was the second show?
3 hours of tapings, three shows. Highlights were Andrew Everett and ACH. They tore down the house. This was an amazing high-flying match. It should be on the next few weeks of television. It was absolutely incredible. Check that out. Tommaso Ciampa and Roderick Strong had a match. It was funny because Roderick came out there. His thumb was all taped up with black tape, and he looked over at our section, and I raised my hand and gave him big thumbs up, and his mouth grew wide, and he grinned, and he saw me, and he gave me the thumbs up with the black tape. It was awesome. Rodney was cracking up. Other things, we had Adam Cole giving his other title, Jay Briscoe's other title, to Matt Hardy, and then we had, oh my goodness, there was we had the Forever Hooligans. Did singles matches. Jay Lethal beat Alex Kozlov. Spot of the night. Alex went to do a springboard. He lost his balance and started windmilling his arms violently to regain his composure on the top rope as he was teetering there for a minute. And he windmilled, and this went on for, I swear to God, 15 seconds. He windmilled his arms and then just dove onto Jay Lethal. And the crowd went crazy. Next few weeks there'll be a lot of heavy use of Decade, and a good show, not even remotely as good as the first night.
Hey, can you believe that? I don't know about the second night, but the first night, it seemed like R.D. Evans was a god in that for that audience.
Yes, and he was it said 98 or 89-0. And the next day, it was 99-0. So he actually had his 100th win on this show, and the crowd went crazy.
And I got to say, Vita Scott was as awesome as his valet or manager or whatever. She was fantastic. And I got to see more of her at the Shimmer show. basically, I guess it's all from ROH. I think me and Craig, we got there too late to see the JR show. And I want to tell a story before I let Sherry talk about the JR show. Is I was contacted by Brian, who told me to only talk about this and post it on the Facebook page. He didn't want me to bring it up on the radio show. He didn't want me to bring it up on the board or on the radio show. He just said do it on the Facebook page just in case too many people sign up. So basically that is, Court Bauer told me to find out who was going to the 6:30 show, and that he would have everyone who was going bumped up to VIP. And basically he told me, and I was not going to the show, so I was nervous about it from the very start just because something could easily go wrong. And he's like, tell everybody to go to the left of the concession stand and wait for me, which everybody did. And, of course, Court, you know, has to do different things, so he didn't get out there right away. And I was at home, and I started getting texts and Facebook messages that he didn't come out. One guy's yelling that it was all fucking bullshit, and I'm freaking out because I feel bad because I got all these people's hopes up. That's actually how I met Sherry, because I arranged for Sherry to be part of the people who got pumped up, and I'm losing my mind. And then finally, Court was able to save the day. I think a few people actually did leave, so I apologize if you didn't get to meet Jim Ross. I know some people were going to Dragon's Gate, so that's probably why they left, but, you know, the majority of the people, the person who I thought, he says he wasn't really yelling at me. He was just frustrated with the situation and apologized. So, you know, I have no hard feelings with anybody, but I was very worried. But, yes, Court did come and save the day. And, Sherry, I'll let you give a quick review of the JR show and the experience of having your hopes almost taken away from you from meeting Jim Ross and then being able to meet Jim Ross.
My hopes weren't taken away. First, it was amazing. It was an amazing show just to hear him. It was just him talking. Like, he came out and was just like, I'm supposed to talk about myself. He's like, but I really want to get to the question and answers sooner than later, because that's what we're here for, is for me to, you know, talk to what your interests are about. So he told a little bit about himself and basically his history, told a couple funny stories, you know, and just kind of how he started, you know, from, you know, being a driver and then, you know, learning how to set the ring and then, you know, being a ref, and then just, you know, like all of these people that he was getting paid for and how little the pay was back then, you know. And it was one of those things of he had all of these stories, and it was so amazing to hear. It was inspiring because, you know, he started from the bottom, and literally this is a man who worked every angle of, you know, this company. And, you know, then he started with the question and answers, you know, and people asked him, you know, random, you know, facts about himself. Some people asked him, well, what do you think of this match and that match? And so he answered some of those things. I do have to say his jerky is delicious. I got some jerky, and I had to actually run and perform that night as well. So after the show, I ran to where I was performing at, and we ate the jerky backstage while we were getting dressed, so while we were getting ready for the show. My hopes weren't dashed because I know a lot of people at the House of Blues because I performed there. Laura, who is behind the bar, she pretty much is the one, because I was going to leave, she's pretty much the one who called me and let me know that Court had made it upstairs because they were kicking everybody out. So I was like, I'm going to hide the bathroom for a little bit and see if I can stay a little bit longer, because he'll probably show up like 5 minutes after we all leave. And sure enough, you know, as soon as Laura called, she's like, he's here. And I'm like, I'm coming. So I ran up the stairs. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to meet him and talk to him for a bit. He was very friendly, and it was nice. It was all in all a good show just to hear. It was very inspiring. It was one of those things of, like, it's never too late, and you can always, you know, if you want to do something, just do it. You grow up on the farm in the middle of nowhere, but just do it, you know. So it was great. It was great to be there and see that.
Awesome, awesome. And I'm glad it all worked out and everyone was able to see him and to take a picture. And I was extremely jealous when I saw all the pictures the next day.
It was wonderful. We'll Photoshop you in there.
Yeah. I'll talk about one of my things, and then I'll let Craig and Sherry talk about Access. But I want to talk about Shimmer, because I went to the Shimmer show Saturday, and I heard an interview with Prazak, and he was worried because he had only sold 200 free tickets before the show and was worried that it was going to be a small show. And it looked like it was going to start out with a small crowd, but it actually ended up being a pretty decent crowd. When all was said and done. And I invited Whitney to be my guest. Unfortunately, Brian had to tag along. I guess he doesn't trust me with his wife. But the first half of the show, it was me and Whitney, front row. The way this was, it was an auditorium. So the ring was on the stage, and it had like three rows or four rows of ringside around the three sides. And then, of course, then you have the audience, the auditorium seating. And it was a really great show. It built from start to finish. They don't go crazy. It's not like a Briscoe match where there's like 500, you know, hot tags or near finishes. It builds and builds and builds. I was very excited to meet someone who I've talked and bragged about on the show forever. Rover gives me hell about it, but I was very excited. I finally got to meet Leva Bates. And also Mia Yam, who's also one of my favorites, and Leva was awesome. You know, she always does the costumes when she comes out, and she came out as Gambit from the X-Men, and her suit was almost perfect. She had the trench coat, she had the staff, she had the card, she had these bright red contacts that look like Gambit when he's powering up the cards to throw them, and she went and had a good little match with Zeta Scott. She basically. It wasn't a total squash, but she basically just killed Vita Scott and won. And then, like, I had arranged for our good friend Earl. I did him some favors last year for WrestleMania, so he promised me some drawings. He's an artist. He basically he traces pictures and then colors him in and makes him his own. And he made an awesome picture of Leva Bates as the Joker from the Batman movie, and also a black and white photo of both her and Mia Yim when they won the Shine title and the belts were colored in. And they love the photos. I got to take a picture with them. One of the highlights of the show. Eva Lise from WWE Tough Enough, and also that whatever it was on TNA where she won her match but didn't win a contract. She was awesome on the show. She's one of the best women's wrestlers out there. They had a match between this girl from New Zealand, Evie, and a Japanese girl, and they tore the house down. The main event was good. Shirley Melissa, she never has a bad match. They had a real funny tag team match with the tag champs, Kelly Skater and Tagawa from Japan, against Nicole Matthews and Madison Eagles, who could not get along. They were like the pretty girls in high school who try and act like they're friends, but they hate each other, and it was very funny. And just a great show, great wrestling. I mean, just awesome. And another highlight is a while back, Lance Storm was on Brian's show, and he talked about he had a student that reminded him of myself, and he named the student Ed in San Antonio after me. And I've been like Facebook friends with the guy. He used to wrestle in Austin. We never got to meet. I knew that he was going to help out. I think he worked at one of the Dragon's Gate shows, and he was helping out on all the other shows. And he told me he was working concessions, so I went and I met him. He's a real cool guy. I texted Lance. I'm like, Lance, I met the other Ed in San Antonio. And Lance texted me back, you better go and take a picture, damn it. So I went back, got a picture with the real Ed in San Antonio and the other Ed in San Antonio. And Lance did tell me he marked that when he saw the photo. So that was pretty cool. And like I say, the Shimmer was just a great experience and all. And I know that Sherry and Craig, you both said you went to Access. So why don't you tell us about your Access experience at school? Let Craig go ahead and start off.
Yeah, we actually went during the Hall of Fame and didn't expect much, but there's a bunch of little booths. They had like the Fruity Pebbles booth. There was just numerous things where you could, you know, jump up and take a and climb up on a little ladder, and, you know, Kofi Kingston, a cutout of him was on the other side. Just a lot of really kid-friendly things. My son got in line and I got to meet Seth Rollins, got his autograph, which was very cool for him. Went and saw some NXT wrestling. I actually saw Bo Dallas and Adrian Neville go 2 out of 3 falls with Neville winning. That was a really great match, actually. Pedrera, if you haven't seen it yet, you can go to my Twitter page. I took a picture with Shawn Michaels' headstone. And anyway, it's I got a lot of great feedback.
Are you now a believer?
I am not now a believer. He lost. So, but anyway, it was really good. Family friendly. Just lots of fun. So that's my review.
And Sherry?
Well, I actually went on the final day. I went on Sunday and did it all the way. I was there at the beginning at 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. when it closed. And it was amazing. I was very pleased with everything. I went by myself, so I just kind of was able to run around and do my own thing. I was really happy that Fruity Pebbles fed us breakfast because I hadn't eaten anything. And they were giving out free cereal, so that was great. I have to agree, there was a lot of kid-friendly stuff. You know, it was really great. They had, like, sumo wrestling where you could get in, like, sumo suits and wrestle each other. They had, you know, these ring ball pits with all this foam in it. They had a lot of other little kid stuff from Party City. They had the 2K14 game set up and, like, we're having people play and try to, like, win, make high scores on it. And so a lot of people were playing the video games as well. I really enjoyed the Undertaker's graveyard. That was fun with all the tombstones. You walked through And then it was just full of fog. There was at one point, actually, I was trying to get through the first time, and they actually had to shut it down because the fog machine had went off too much, and you couldn't see anything in there, and there was too much fog, so they had to shut it down and let it air out a little bit before they could let anybody in. And finally I got in, and they had all the tombstones lined up of everybody he had defeated, and then they had one pillar set up with an urn in it, and next to it they had a picture of Paul Bearer with his name etched into the stone. And they had, like, chairs, you know, to sit in. I actually took a really awesome picture in the Undertaker's chair. They had
vampire in it.
The lighting was awesome in there. They had all the coffins. I was really happy that they had the gold dust coffin in there that was, you know, bashed up. And it was really great. And then they had the Hall of Fame memorabilia area that you got to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually ended up meeting Mean Gene when I was in there. I was, like, looking at stuff, and I went to turn around, and there's this man right there, and he just looks at me, and I look at him, and he was like, hello. And in my mind, I'm like, hi. And then I stop, and I look at him, and I'm like, wait, you're Mean Gene. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So we just kind of hung out and looked at the stuff together. It was really great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Then I got to I was really happy to see, I got to meet Jimmy Hart and Pat Patterson, and then I got to hang out with Hacksaw Jim Duggan there for a bit. That was really fun.
Do you want to talk about the guy who started hitting you up on Twitter?
So I got my autograph from R-Truth and Xavier Woods. And then they were like, hey, can you tweet that photo? And so I tweeted and tagged them both in it, and then instantly both of them started tweeting, private message tweeting me on my Twitter, and I was like, okay. I was like, nice to see you. Okay, bye. but the NXT ring was wonderful. It was great. I feel like it was, you know, they had questions and answers, like the Big Show came out and did some question, you know, Q&A, and then Fandango with Summer came out, and they did some Q&A, and then they did some dancing, of course. We all know how that ended. But it was great to have that while you were, if you were waiting in line to meet these wrestlers and stuff, you could see the NXT ring from mostly any line that you were waiting in for signatures. And so you could see matches while you were standing there, so you weren't bored out of your mind. And I don't think any of the events or any of the lines were too long. I think the longest one that they actually ended up cutting off was Trish Stratus' line, because that was crazy long. That was the only one I saw get cut off, because it was also really close to closing time. But it was, there was so much going on there, and it was really fun. And there was, you know, cameras, you know, and TV monitors set up showing old matches, and it was, you know, everybody was just pumped. Everybody was excited, you know, because it was the day of WrestleMania. So everybody was, like, you know, doing this, and then they were going to go straight to the Dome after that. The Silver Dome.
that's where we finally met.
Yes, and that's when we finally met. It was this whole trail, this whole weekend trail to the meeting.
And it climaxed on, what was it? Were we on Canal Street or something?
We were on Poydras.
Poydras, that's right.
Poydras.
Yeah, that was awesome. I want to talk about, you guys talked about seeing NXT at the Access. Well, I have an NXT story myself. After WrestleMania, a bunch of the guys, we all met on Frenchman Street, and we started drinking, and before I know it, I'm trying to eat, and the next thing I know it, I got two different people dropped off shots at Patron, and two different people walked up with beers, and I had four drinks in front of me before I even started drinking. But suffice to say, I got a little drunk that night. And we were at this restaurant bar for a while. Then we went across the street, had a drink or two. That bar closed. We crossed the street to another bar, had a drink. It closed. Crossed the street, had a drink. It closed. And this went on many times. We were zigzagging all down Frenchman Street until finally we walked a little ways and we came up to this, like, outside bar. And we kind of went in there, and the next thing I know, I'm taking a picture with Mojo Riley, who is freaking huge. I mean, he's not like, you know, like a super big bodybuilder, but he's tall and he's thick, and the dude is hyped. If you've seen him on NXT, you know his gimmick is he's hyped, and the dude is hyped, even when he's had a few drinks. And I also got to meet and talk to and take a picture with CJ Parker, who's a really nice guy, and the dude looks like he's 12 years old in the face, basically. But he was really nice. He talked to us. And then I met the, I always forget his name, but the selfie guy that Lance Storm trains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I met him, and I told him, like, yeah, I know your trainer. And he's like, he kind of, like, answered like he didn't believe me. And I'm like, no, I'm actually good. I know Lance. He does my show and this and that. You can ask him about it. He'll tell you all about me. And he just kind of laughed, and he was super cool. Took a picture. He talked to us for a while. SoCal Val, formerly of TNA, was there, and she was looking very good with her bright red hair. And I took a picture with her, talked to her. She was a sweetheart. And then I saw my favorite NXT performer of all, and that is It's Bayley. And I got to take a picture with Bayley, and suffice to say, Bayley probably had a few drinks that night, and I just remember I had my arm around her, and I told her, Bayley, you're my favorite NXT wrestler, and she just laughed and shook her head. She looked at me like I was full of shit and said, no, I'm not. And I was like, no, you are. And I talked to her. I mentioned how, I remember when Casey Spinelli was on the show, Crate, I told her all about her, just bragging about her beyond, you know, like she really put her over big time, and she was really happy to hear that. And then Roderick was there. And suffice to say, I had to edit my big, long WrestleMania post because Roddy wasn't happy with the description I made of him that night. So I had to edit that. And but let's just say Roddy was having a good time. Joey Ryan was there. Adam Cole was there. In fact, he told me to get in touch with him because I mentioned him doing the show, and I thanked him for doing the show a while back, and he said, get a hold of him, and he'd be happy to do it again. So Court basically told me to get with him anytime he wanted, someone from ROH. So hopefully in the near future we'll have Adam Cole when we have time. I'll start working on that in a week or two. I think next week we might have Dave Prazak on the show. So
nice.
That was my NXT experience, and it was a fun one. And, you know, there was so many things going on. You know, we had a dinner Friday. We had about two long tables, this really big restaurant. Food was excellent. Little issue with the bill. This lady brought, like, she came out with, like, this bill that was about, I can joke and say it was 6 feet long, but it was about maybe 3 feet long or so. But basically it was a 30-person bill for, like, $900. And I just remember this waitress gave it to Vinny. And Vinny looked at this thing and held it up, and he looked at it for a minute, and he didn't know what to make of it, and his eyes were like, what the fuck? And I kind of felt bad, so I decided to pitch in like about 100, the first 170, 200 to the bill, and then a few other people volunteered a little extra money. So, you know, no one really got overcharged that they didn't want to or couldn't afford. So it turned out all right. You know, it was good seeing everybody. Matt Clary made me an awesome banner that I got everyone taking the pictures. Of course, Craig had to be funny and hold it upside down like he's a comedian or something. But really great dinner. What do you think of the dinner, Craig?
It was awesome. Some of the finest food I've ever had, and got to sample some things I've quite frankly just never tried. So good stuff.
Yeah, the gumbo was the greatest gumbo I've ever had in my life, and I had a good time. It was a good time, you know. Got to see Brian Fritz. I hadn't seen Fritzy in a few years, and I've always considered him a very, very good friend, Brian Fritz from Between the Ropes. And
was that when you guys went to Court of Two Sisters?
No, that was actually for this was Friday. We went to, I don't know how to say it, Mulates or Mulets or
Mulates, something like that. It's close, yeah. Close enough.
Yeah, yeah. That was before Sunday. We went to the Court of Two Sisters, which was very close to Bourbon Street. Not on Bourbon Street, but very close. And that's when Tracy Lee first joined us. And it was funny because everyone kept asking me, "How'd you get Tracy Lee to come?" And I was just, I asked. She came. And Tracy's awesome. I mean, she's a sweetheart. I got, real quick, I told this on my note, but I'll say it real quick. I could have met her in Dallas at a UFC show, but she's like my dream girl. If you know me, you know I like Asians and everything. And I was so sick, chicken shit, that I was, when she walked by, I just put my head down and was just like a scared little kid. I didn't meet her. Did a show in San Antonio, and finally I introduced myself, talked to her briefly, ran into her at Houston at a show, took a picture, just said hello, said I met her. She said, "I remember you." But that was basically it. And I saw she was going Mania weekend, so I invited her to the event, said I was from The Observer, and which at that time was kind of a lie, but now that the weekend's over, I am now the official executive director of events. I have my own title now, so yes, I am part of the site. Also, Craig. And so she showed up, had a good time, sat with me and Rodney and Sykes' wife, and she just had us rolling. She told funny stories. And after the dinner, we were going to go all meet at take a ghost tour. And so me and Tracy are saying our goodbyes, and I turned, and it seemed like slow motion. I busted my ass, and busted my ass, and it was like in slow motion. I fell like 5 feet before I finally landed on the ground. And luckily, Tracy didn't see that, so... But now
she knows.
Yeah, now she knows. But I laughed my ass off. I thought it was so funny. The ghost tour was cool. You want to enjoy it, Craig, because he talked a lot of rock and roll and music besides all the honest stuff. Like he took us to where Atlantic Records got its start, and he took us to the hotel that the guy from Led Zeppelin, you remember when he got drunk with transsexual and then there was a fire and he died? He told us all about that story and took us to that hotel. And other music related, I know you're big into the music, so you really would enjoy it. But it was a lot of walking, too much walking. I hope I never have to walk again for the rest of my life. I'm thinking about getting a Segway because my legs hated me at the end of the night. But
that's something you have to do a lot in New Orleans. It's a lot of walking,
It's a lot of uneven ground.
Yeah, you get used to that after a while. It's one of those things of like, you know, we are below sea level and we are built. Not on solid ground. We're built on, you know, water. So our stuff tends to sink, and that's why we have so many. Yeah, it's quite a crazy thing.
Yeah, I'm sure you just heard that, Sherry. Don't worry about it. That's just our last feed. We can. It's not going to cut us off. But we'll go ahead and start to wrap up. I'll let Craig. Anything that we haven't brought up that you'd like to bring up, like meeting somebody or some other event you did, or just your last final thoughts. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, we have 2 minutes, so we need to throw out the plugs real quick. So I'll do mine real quick and throw back to you. You follow me on Twitter. It's proper PROPERJAM, proper Jim, and follow me on Twitter. I got a lot of pics up there from the weekend, and keep you up to date on all the radio shows and whatnot. So proper Jam on Twitter.
Okay. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks show. So check out angrymarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Petraer and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. Sherry, would you like to plug anything?
Yes, I am, on top of being a wrestling fan, I am also a burlesque performer, so if you want to see anything from this weekend, you can follow me at Cherry Brown, that's CHERRYBROWNN, and that's on Twitter and Instagram, or you can just look me up at Cherry Brown on Facebook, or www.MissCherryBrown.com.
Cool. Okay, Craig, go ahead and finish up your side of the story.
Oh, goodness. Go ahead, Tutra. I'm sorry.
No, I don't want to now. Ruined.
Oh, come on.
Go to youtube.com/Petraer. Got a bunch of old wrestling videos and stuff up there. You can catch me on Twitter at Contreras35. That's fine.
Okay. Final thoughts. Had a great time this weekend. Had a flight from... Had a long day of traveling on my birthday on Tuesday. It made for a not-so-eventful birthday, but... you know, you gotta get there. You gotta come home. So, got to meet Nigel McGuinness. Actually, got to meet him again, but actually got to talk to him a little bit after the Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe ladder match, and he wasn't happy. I'll leave it at that. He just very uncomfortable. Matt and I spoke with him briefly after the match. Nigel always a class act. And like I said,
if you would have been in Vegas last year, you could have watched Nigel do card tricks.
Okay. As I said, my son got to meet Seth Rollins. He was very cool. And giving up his Hall of Fame time to meet the fans. Briefly saw Ric Flair at the autograph signing there at Access. The line was out the door for him. Got a glimpse of the Nature Boy. Just a good time. No offense to Sherry here, but not my favorite city that I've been in. New Orleans needs they need some more time to rebuild, I think. Very different, and going through the French Quarter, it's like, wow, it's just a complete culture shock to me. You know, it's not the sleepy little town that I live in here in Washington, but it was a cool town, great wrestling, good friends. If you get a chance to do one of the Empire gatherings, it's always a good time, and I genuinely. I have hope for the human race when I meet so many people from all over the world. There's a guy, Robin. He was wearing one of the shirts that I designed, myself and Matt designed for Brian Sight. And I went up to him and I just said, hey, where did I send that shirt? And he puts the two and two together and figures out that it's me. And he says, I'm from Japan. And I'm like, oh, I sent like three shirts there. And he's like, yeah, how'd you remember? And ended up waking up every morning, coming down to the lobby to have breakfast, and he was down there, and just he was my morning coffee buddy when we talk wrestling over a cup of Joe. So just some really cool people. Kirk spent the evening on Friday talking with him, and some crazy Canucks on the other side of the table, and just as many trolls and as many goofs and as many jackasses as there are on the board, there's probably about five of them that are really great people. So, yeah, good meeting everybody.
Does Matt Clary know about this? He's going to be extremely jealous that you cheated on him on this trip.
Matt's my boy. Come on.
Katrina, I know you weren't in town, but do you have any final thoughts from watching it from afar?
No, it was a great show. I'd actually say I put this WrestleMania. I'll put this up there. I think this is one of the greatest WrestleManias. I put it up there with WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania 17.
Hmm.
So.
Okay.
Because there's so much stuff going on. There, a lot of stuff came out of it, more good than bad. Really, no bad on the show at all. I can't say. I mean, nothing bad. So, and I mean the crowd and the matches. You know, everything was great. So yeah, I think this is like one of the greatest ones of all time.
I also thought it was very cool having the network. Now that everybody has it, to go back to the hotel and rewatch the thing instantaneously. Mm-hmm. Just the few things that I missed, like on the pre-show and the couple of things that I missed here and there, the women's match mostly. Gosh, that's a cool idea. I'm so glad I have the network.
Yeah, it was great because they had great network stuff all week, and especially like the red carpet for the Hall of Fame before the show, and I got to watch the Hall of Fame and didn't have any problems watching it. So
yeah,
great stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and I did turn on the network for a few minutes during WrestleMania just to say that I was watching WrestleMania on the network while I was at WrestleMania. Sherry, I know you plan on putting me over time, but I'll go ahead and let you talk about your final thoughts of the weekend and your experience hanging out with a bunch of strangers you never met before and everything that happened this past week.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things of, like, it's, you know, living in a tourist, you know, city, strangers are common, but it's one of those things of, like, I was just so happy even before any of the events started to have all of these people enjoying the city that I live in and being able to, you know, see everything that I, you know, sometimes take for granted on a daily basis. You know, I can't remember the last time I ate at Court of Two Sisters and all that stuff. So it's one of those things of, like, it's wonderful, you know, to see. And we're actually, you know, this helps the city a lot. We're actually everything in the French Quarter is actually rebuilt better than it was before Katrina. So everything you see was actually worse even before Katrina. So that's something of a perspective. But it's wonderful. The events, you know, meeting, you know, Jim Ross, who has been an idol commentator of mine for years, you know, that was amazing. Seeing all the legends, you know, watching the matches, you know, it was an amazing time, and I really think they outdid themselves. I think they really, you know, pushed the bar as to as many events as they had going throughout the city. And I think our city does lend to that because we have so many venues, music venues, and different places that you can put events into. So it was great, and I can't wait for the next one, but I definitely don't think, you know, it's going to be hard to top. I'm going to be interested to see what they do because this was definitely iconic. It was definitely, you know, one for the books.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. I love the city. I only got to party one night, but that was probably more than enough because I probably would have died if I probably would have partied more than just that one night. And it was great meeting everyone from the Empire. I can't even think about trying to name everybody because there was so many people there. And, you know, it's awesome getting to see Rodney and the Peach Machine and just everybody, you know, Brits. I mean, great time. I got to meet two awesome people, you know. My plan originally for WrestleMania was I had bought two tickets for WrestleMania, and I was supposed to take my friend Christy, who went to Vegas last year, and unfortunately she just couldn't afford it, and that left me with one extra ticket. And then I was supposed to have, the other ticket was also for Trina Michaels, and then Trina Michaels just decided that she was going to take too much of a loss. So apparently not a lot of those indie wrestlers were going to make a profit, and a lot of them were looking at taking a loss to perform there, and she decided last minute that it just wasn't worth it to her, so she decided not to go and perform at the Evolver Dragon Speed Show. So that left me with two tickets. And luckily, you know, I wanted to brag that I was at WrestleMania with the two prettiest girls there, and somehow I ended up doing that because I had Sherry take one ticket, and Sherry's very beautiful, and then I had Tracy Lee take the other ticket. So, yes, Ed and San Antonio did have the two prettiest dates at WrestleMania, and life is good, and it was a great trip, and I can't wait to go to San Francisco next year. Can't wait to go to Vegas in July, and if you want to join us for either Vegas or Mania next year, hit me up at f4wfan@hotmail.com. Once again, I am the executive. I am the executive. I forgot my own goddamn title. I can't even do a plug.
You are the executive in charge of party affairs or something
basically
like that.
That's about right. That's basically about right. Yeah. But
we're going to get you a plaque made. You're going to get a plaque. Okay.
I should have my own, like, Andre the Giant statue, like my own Ed and San Antonio statue. And it has to have the beard, and it has to have the hair. But, yes, WrestleMania was awesome. And I guess we'll go ahead and end the show. And we will talk to everybody next week. And like I say, I'll try and get Dave Prezek on the show. And
cool.
Hopefully he'll have time to do it after Raw. I just talked to him the other day. So we'll see what happens. And everybody come back next week. And we will find something to talk about then. And until then, everyone have a good night.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man!
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix shit! Let's go hook him up!
I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Isn't our theme music kick ass?
I like it.
Awesome. I gotta click the end button so it might disconnect us, but I'll call you right back if it does.
Okay.